So you are a space shuttle engineer. We'll start out with that. What exactly did that entail?
So I was what's called a space shuttle experiment engineer, and I firmly believe that it was the best job I could possibly get at NASA, and I got it right out of school, so I really lucked out. What we did was our group were able to put any scientific experiments that may fly on the shuttle, we would put together, we would test them, we'd end up putting them on the shuttle, and we'd train astronauts on them. Some of them were time critical, so we'd be up on the launch pad, you know, literally just a few hours before launch, and we would be on the ground on landing. We were the second vehicle in the convoy, and we'd go in right afterwards and take them back out again to get the science to the experimenters. So it was a lot of fun. Got to crawl around spaceships and do some pretty interesting things.
That kind of makes you uniquely qualified to be an author of science fiction.
Yeah, you know what was interesting was when I was looking for editors, I went through two editors, and the first one was a science fiction editor, and I didn't get great results. And then when I came back, I said, you know, I don't need to have a science fiction editor. I need to have an editor. I think I know as much science out of the science fiction part as anybody who's writing in the genre. So what happens is a lot of the things that people may have to research otherwise come naturally to me. I can, you know, build things into the story that other people may not think about. And that's really what I've done with my first book, Casimir Bridge, is that, you know, I've spent a lot of time making sure that the technology and the science are correct.
So what did you think of The Martian then?
Loved The Martian. I love the book more than the movie. And I'll say that the movie had a couple flaws in it that were movie-isms that weren't part of the book. one of the worst ones, the worst offenders was when he sort of played Iron Man at the end. That was definitely put in for the movie-going crowd. And
I wondered about that.
Yeah, completely unrealistic. It's not something that I think as soon as you poked a hole in your glove and it was spitting out atmosphere, you'd just start spinning around.
Now, your protagonist in Casimir Bridge is a female, and you have done research, extensive research on why it is that perhaps there aren't that many female protagonists in the sci-fi genre.
When you look at the science fiction genre, it has traditionally been a male-dominated genre. You go back to the late 40s, the predecessor to Analog Magazine in 1948 had a 6% female readership. You know, so very low. And I think that parallels, you know, sort of women in technology, right? You didn't have a lot of women that were in the more scientific and technical fields back in the late 40s. But then, you know, that number started to grow, and along with it, science fiction readership started to grow. So in the early 70s, in 1974, female readership of that magazine was up to about 25%. And so it's growing. And now, you know, you fast forward another 40 years, and, you know, I think that women and men are, you know, roughly on parity in technical and scientific jobs. And when you look at the numbers of women reading science fiction, while an individual man is more likely to have read science fiction than an individual woman has been, because women read more fiction than men do, the actual numbers pretty much even out. So if it was a political poll, you'd be in a statistical dead heat between the two.
Are there as many female writers of science fiction as there are males?
There doesn't seem to be. And it's not that there haven't been. You know, there's been some great ones. Even going back, you know, to the 60s and 70s, when science fiction really started to take off, you had, you know, writers like Ursula K. Le Guin, who's known for, you know, really more for her Earthsea fantasy series than science fiction, but she wrote a lot of science fiction. And there's a number of others that wrote during that time. There are a couple that even put on male pseudonyms just because they wanted to appeal more to the genre. And so I think there have been a number of writers, but they've been really far outnumbered by male writers. And I think that, again, is starting to change. I've read a couple books recently that have had either women writers or co-writers as a part of it. And again, it's starting to kind of pick up a little bit more just because the demographics of the readership of the genre are changing.
Now, where do you see the sci-fi genre going in the future? Do you see there being more female characters and more female writers going forward?
I really do. I think this is going to start to pick up. And the reason is that, you know, again, when you're roughly on parity between male and female readers, and you also are getting more mainstream science fiction in movies, and so that's drawing in additional viewers and then readers of the genre. You know, what's going to happen is the women readership is going to start to demand, you know, more storylines and plots, et cetera, focused around women. And in general, I think that women demand a better story. I think the genre is going there, so The Martian is a great example. I give this other example quite a bit as well, as a book called The Atlantis Gene, and there's two follow-on books in the series by an author by the name of A.G. Riddle that are both what I like to call smart science fiction, where they really get the story right, they get the technology right, and they don't rely on the genre as a crutch. And I think that has traditionally been an issue, and it's one of the reasons why women have been turned off, I believe, to the genre in the past. Is, you know, you take away the greats like Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke and those kind of guys. You know, a lot of the science fiction work was, again, relying on the genre. And I think that's starting to change, and with it are coming sort of more sophisticated readers.
Who are your favorite female sci-fi characters in anything that you've read or watched?
Oh, I mean, that's an easy one. You got to give me a harder question than that. I think it's got to be, you know, Ripley in the Alien series.
Ah, that was why money was on Ripley, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. There's another one, is in the Terminator series.
There's
a pretty strong woman character that's pretty badass in what she does. But I think Ripley, because the character is so strong, it overcomes a lot of, you know, sort of the stereotypes that are there, and it's also, you know, the first two movies were just excellent. The second one being my favorite. I don't know that Cameron puts out a bad science fiction movie ever. So, and that Ripley character was probably the strongest character in the movie. It was certainly the main character in the movie, and likely was the strongest as well.
Do you think there's a difference between the presence of female characters between movies and TV and fiction literature?
I believe that because TV and movies tend to be more mainstream, you have to have a broader presence in those media. And, you know, books, it hasn't been as much there. And so therefore, as a result, there's still, you know, the genre is still playing catch up in that regard. And I will say that, you know, the vast majority of science fiction books have women characters in them. They just don't tend to be in the primary role.
So tell me a little bit more about Casimir Bridge. What is it about?
At the core of it, there's a good company. I'll call it a protagonist company, if you can have such a thing. And it has found a few things. I don't want to spoil it for any readers out there, but it's found a few things, and it has grown some technology. And it controls the lion's share of a new mineral that was found, or a new element that was found, that they called Hyperium. And Hyperium was found on Saturn's moon of Hyperion. And it enables interstellar travel, and it also is sort of like the futuristic version of oil. The primary character is Mandisa Nkosi, who's a reporter. Mandy is her name for short. And Mandy stumbles on a conspiracy that goes up to the highest levels of corporate and government world, and she has a tie to the good company, and that's why she's brought into it by this anonymous source. And so she starts digging and gets a little bit too deep and gets into trouble and has to flee off of Earth, and she ends up taking her investigation to the stars and gets chased all the way around, and I don't want to go too much further than that. But it really revolves around her, and then the CEO of the protagonist company are sort of the two primary characters.
Excellent, excellent. That sounds like a great read.
I hope so. People have been enjoying it so far.